What is up, you beautiful human? Hello and welcome back to the Raw, Real and Vulnerable podcast with me, your host, Bec Antonucci. I am sitting here in person with someone that has been on the show before that I know you all love. I'm bringing AJ Papps back for an in-person Sydney episode. And I want to be really honest with you. I started this episode with the intention for us to explore women who desire to bring toys into the bedroom but feel uncomfortable to do that. But you know what AJ and I are like? Our energy is like fucking fireworks, and you just can't put two firework kind of people into a box and expect them to fit into it. So this conversation went here, there, and fucking everywhere in the most beautiful, powerful way. This episode is so conversational. In fact, at the very end of it, AJ was like, I think you need to send me an invoice and I need to pay you for the therapy session that we just had. So we really went deep. There was almost tears from AJ multiple times throughout the show. We went into his relationship with self and God and how you can start to create a relationship with yourself and your faith, your beliefs, so that you can improve your own internal dialogue, so you can experience a more powerful life, a more powerful experience of how you date, a more powerful experience of how you show up and experience yourself and others in the bedroom. We speak about my herpes journey. In fact, AJ turned the podcast around many times and asked me about myself. And we spoke about the deep pain that was caused to me through the herpes virus, but not through the man that passed the virus to me, and instead the ex-boyfriend that couldn't meet my needs sexually, and how much pain that created for me, how much resentment that created for me. And with AJ, we explored how common this conversation is for men to be great at everything but sex, and how we can actually support our male partners to improve in that aspect, to turn sex into more of an experience rather than sex just being penetration or sex just being oral sex, and how we can start to make sex a beautiful experience for both people to enjoy, to take men out of their performance mentality, their trying to get it right mentality, to take women out of their fake performer, the moaning when we're not actually enjoying ourselves, and actually be able to communicate in more authentic ways with the people in our lives so we can create deeper and more meaningful experiences both inside and outside of the bedroom. If you love this episode, please screenshot it, share it to your story, tag both myself and AJ because we would love to reshare it and we would abso-fucking love to connect with you. Strap yourself in. This is one hell of an episode. Let's fucking go. I am sitting here in person.
I know, it feels good, eh?
It does feel so good. You feel so good, AJ. Yeah,
thank you.
I am sitting here in person with AJ Papps, and we are coming back for round two of Raw, Real and Vulnerable. So welcome back.
Thank you. I'm not really good at round twos, but I'm back.
Oh, that is such a disappointment.
I'm honest.
So are you just like really performing in round one, or are you just letting us down in all capacities?
Pretty much all capacities. I don't practice what I preach. But yeah, we're good. Thank you for having me.
Thank you for being back. Thank you for taking time out of your day to be here.
No, always. I couldn't miss you being in Sydney.
I know. I feel like you're related to me or something because we've got such similar energy in so many ways.
Good energy recognizes good energy.
I love it. So I know women can go back and listen to the first episode, but just a quick recap. Who is AJ Papps and what is it that you do in the world?
Well, I think what's it been? It's been like 6 months, 7 months since our last one. It's been a while. I've grown a little bit. The hair's still short, but we've grown.
He's 28, not 27 now.
Yes, I'm 28.
He's talking about dating instead of not this time around. Yeah, Let's go, baby. Yeah. We can all find out the deets.
We're learning. So, as you said, I'm 28 years old. I'm born in Sydney, Australia. I pretty much grown up in the adult industry. My parents owned adult stores and adult businesses. I went into the family business at 18. Stayed in it for a bit, hated it, and then went into nightclubs, came back to pretty much help my mum, who had recently gone through a divorce, refound my love for helping people, in particular like the taboo sort of subjects, found that I was giving good advice, used that advice, started saying it on TikTok, God willingly blew up, and then, you know, 500,000 followers later, twice, I'm now sitting here with amazing you. Get to have amazing conversations like this and help people around the world have better sex and better relationships and better dating and better self-love and self-confidence.
Yeah, I love it. All the things that I love to talk about just in a very different capacity, but so aligned in so many ways.
You do it better.
I do lots of things really well, AJ.
That's good.
So talk to me. I really would love women to get out of today. I love seeing women fully embodied in their self-expression and their confidence, but there can be a lot of judgment of I'm just not good at a lot of things, or I'm not good at speaking about taboo things, or I'm not good at leaning into my edges. There's so much generalization that so many women are just so much better, prettier, sexier than me, and they're wanting to explore themselves sexually. And so do you find that's quite common of people want to explore their sexual edges, but they're so nervous about doing it?
I don't think it's stuck with just women.
Okay.
I think men struggle with the same thing. I think we all struggle with insecurities,
yes.
whether it be with our own body, whether it be with our own confidence, whether it be with our own ability to date.
Yes.
I was having breakfast with a friend this morning and I was literally saying to him, good looking guy.
Yeah.
I'm straight, but a very attractive guy, yeah. smart, great job. He's a catch, but he gets in his own way
yeah.
because of his own self-doubt, you know, and people think that confidence is getting in front of mics and talking and being loud or anything or being out there on social media. You don't have to be like that.
Mm-hmm.
Generally, the best way to actually start, and I had to go through this myself,
mm-hmm.
is you have to change your inner dialogue.
Mm-hmm.
Your inner dialogue is ultimately what you're going to predict on the reality. Like, I've gotten real big into the spirituality in the last 7 months. I've always been spiritual, but like real like, fuck, I got to practice what I preach. And
yeah.
let's really see if this works.
Yeah.
And I realized the minute I started changing the relationship that I had with myself, changing
yes.
the conversations that I had with myself, the conversations with my outer reality started changing. And my confidence started leveling up, my ability to attract better people into my life,
mm-hmm.
you know, whether it be sexual, platonic, whatever.
Yes.
Bringing into my life. Who's going to love you if you don't even love yourself? And the minute you start pouring into your own cup,
mm-hmm.
is the minute you start to overflow into others.
Mm-hmm.
If you realize that, I did a video this morning that I was telling you about. It's like I had a coffee cup with just black coffee in it.
Mm-hmm.
And you look at it like the black coffee was to represent the darkness inside of us that
yeah.
can either come from our own internal dialogue that we've created, and we look at the world or we look at social media and we're like, I don't look like her, I don't look like him, I don't have this much money, I'm not dating someone that looks like that.
Mm-hmm.
And then it also comes from maybe something our mum said to us years ago, or our school said to us, or society back in the 90s or early 2000s said to us, that we hold on to these beliefs, and all these beliefs build up into us and we don't realize it, and we're not really taught in school or by a lot of our parents the emotional capacity to let go of it.
Mm-hmm.
And it builds up, and we don't know how to let it go, and we'd have this like char inside of us. And then the minute you change your inner dialogue and start clearing it out, letting it go,
mm-hmm.
and speaking to yourself better and treating yourself better, your cup then becomes clear and healthier.
Mm-hmm.
And then it also begins to overflow, which allows you to overflow into other people's cup.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the best place you can be when it comes to loving yourself, loving others, and potentially attracting others. Because
mm.
then you're not overflowing that negativity into someone else's cup, which is ultimately going to cause faults in a relationship anyway, because
mm.
you've done all the work.
Yes.
And the work sucks. It hurts. It's not comfortable. I've done it. I've sat with myself, and you have to look at your ego and you're like, fuck, I was wrong with a lot of things.
Yeah.
But it's coming to that conclusion. And
not me. I'm always right, but most people, yeah.
Yeah, you know what? Me too. But I was wrong with a lot of things.
Yeah.
And you had to learn to let go and forgive yourself and forgive others, but mainly yourself for how you behaved or how you conducted yourself. And maybe you said something you shouldn't have said, and you have to forgive and
yes.
realize that you're now in a better place, a more educated place, a more emotionally mature place to realize your wrongs. And with that becomes growth. And then you get out of your own way with dating.
Mm.
And this is what I said to the bloke. I'm like, look, you got to start looking at yourself in a better capacity. Because
mm.
how is someone meant to hold you better and look at you better if you don't even look at yourself in that capacity?
Yes.
You
yes.
have to change your inner dialogues.
Yes. I love that I asked you about exploring our sexual edges and our confidence to do that, and you brought it straight back to relationship with self. Like, yeah, you could try and go and do all these things external to you, but if you really actually desire to have better dating experience, more pleasure in the bedroom, it still comes back to your thoughts and feelings about
you. If it always does, I'm going to butcher this quote, but if you don't kill your wounds, you bleed all over everyone who didn't hurt you,
mm.
you know? And everything starts with your inner you.
Mm-hmm.
But some people would rather fight the world than fight themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why there's so many hurt people roaming around.
Mm.
And I'm no Mahatma Gandhi or anything like that, but I'm a realist. And I look at things in a way that I'm like, okay, so if I invest more into sort of having better conversations with myself, like last night I got 1 hour sleep. Oh, no, I don't look good. Thank you.
He looks good, ladies. He looks good.
Honestly,
he's willing to talk about dating. We're all going to get our notebooks
I looked in the mirror this morning. I'm like, fuck, I look good for 1 hour sleep.
Why? What were you doing?
I did a 12-hour shift yesterday, and then I got 1 hour sleep. But I didn't have coffee late. I didn't eat late. I'm thinking, what the fuck was it? And like, I'm very comfortable with myself. Literally, I talk about eating ass on the internet. So I'm very comfortable with what I say on the internet.
Yeah, yeah.
And last night I came to a place where I forgave a lot of people in my life. Mm. And I forgave a lot of people that have harmed me when I had done nothing to them.
Yeah.
Forgave a lot of situations. And not only that, I sent them love.
Mm.
And again, I'm no fucking hippie, but this shit worked. Mm. I forgave myself for a lot of things as well. Mm. That just situations I could have handled better.
Yeah.
Not that I didn't intend to do anyone wrong at all,
yeah,
but maybe I said something in a shit tone that I forgave myself for.
Yeah.
And I got all this energy off my chest and I realized that was all blocked energy. That's why I was fucking couldn't sleep,
mm-hmm,
because all this energy had unlocked that was holding me down and I was just moving in a much purer state that I just stayed up and sat there for hours just being grateful. I realized that if more people can have that, we can fucking have way better relationships. We can have everything that we want. We can have the relationship we want. We can have the thing. Like, I have people now that message me or comment on my stuff. And I saw it of you, but by the way, high five, because I saw you shut that person down. Like, bro, the information's all here. I give it every day. I posted a thing like, yeah, you can have the person you want. This is good for everyone but me. Now I just say, not with that shit attitude.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not going to tolerate it. Like,
yeah,
not with that shit attitude. People are like, that's a bit blunt. No, it's not. Because some people fucking need to get slapped in the face. The water hole is right in front of you. I'm not going to beg you to drink, but
yeah,
don't, like, cut off your hands so you can, like, not literally lift up the water to your mouth.
Mm.
It's right in front of you.
Yeah.
You know? So, sorry for the rant.
No, I love it. I've actually been, and I would love to just explore why you've gone down this deeper path of a relationship to spirituality, a relationship to God. I've been writing letters to God every morning. It's how I start my day. I write a letter of gratitude. That's my first letter. A letter of letting go. That's my second letter. Mm. A letter of creation. That's my third. And when I do it every single morning, my experience of life is I just feel like I can feel and see so much more life. And when I don't do it, my day is significantly impacted. And it's just such a catalyst for so much change in my current reality. And when I'm facing off with challenging thoughts, like I went through a 12-month breakup. It's been such a thing.
Hey, a 12-month breakup.
When you're leaving someone that's an almost good enough guy, that's really amazing person, your mind wants it to be the thing, but your heart's saying he's not it. And then you end up in this war and then he's still fighting for me and I love a man that never gives up and just ended up in a 12-month breakup.
Do you reckon it could be the one, Buck?
Shut up, AJ.
No, I'm serious. Do you reckon maybe it's one of those things where maybe you need a year and a half off and then like, you go do your own thing and then you naturally find your way back to each other?
Do you know what? We have said if God brings us back together, it's been ended on such a beautiful, in such a beautiful place. And even though my heart says it's not him, my mind has always said I wish that it is. But
God's like, it's not him, but then he keeps posting hot selfies every single day.
I block all ex-partners on social media.
Yeah, that's good.
Just for my mental health. I don't get stalking people. I don't want to see something. Because what I'll do is
I've got two minds.
No, I just want to be so in my lane. And if this person comes back in my life, you're in my life. You're not in my social media life. Mm. At that point, I'll unblock you. Otherwise, I'll see something. My head will create a spiral. I'll go into it. I'll make myself feel bad about it. It'll distract from my everyday life.
So he needs to email you.
But he's still got my number. He can call.
It is the email. Yeah, but calling is so long. We want effort. We want an email.
I think I have corporate trauma from emails.
Like a clickbait one too. Not like a, hey, I want you back. It's going to be like, hey, get 13% off our love story. And you're like, what the fuck is this? Like, boom, I'm back, baby.
No. We've taken some time and he texts me 2 weeks ago. His mum texts me during the week. I'm like, I'm not responding to anything.
Why is the mum texting?
She ended up in Bali and wanted to spend some time with me.
Okay, that's cool.
But it was nice, but I just had to choose not to respond. Because I was like, I've got events this weekend in Sydney. I've got incredible guests on the show.
So I like that. I find the mum thing cute because of that reason. Like if the mum's texting you like, you should get back together. I find that off-putting.
No. She came to Bali and wanted to have a drink. But I've got two lanes in my mind. One is Beck that is doing her thing and mission focus and just like in my lane. My husband's coming in October. God's already told me. Or there's Beck that goes down this, I'm still going through my 12-month breakup path.
Does he live in Bali?
No, he does not.
My bro, if you're watching this, make sure that you're in Bali in October. Sorry, I had to. You never know, man. Look, I'm so fucking anti, like, I love how you're like, you asked me before the show, what are your two off limits? Can I talk about dating? Like, yeah, I'm open to my dating. Like, no, it's all about your fucking, you didn't say what your limits were.
My sister texted me the other week. She's like, myself and all of your community are over your breakup. We've been on the journey with you and we're complete in this experience.
Yeah, well, I didn't hear about it. So you can all mind your fucking business. It's my turn. All right, no more breakup talk. No more breakup talk.
All right, AJ, let's hear about you and your dating life.
I'm single. I've been single for 4 years.
Yes.
And a lot of the time it's because the first year would have been because I wanted to have my fun.
Yeah.
I hang out with girls and whatever, we just hang out and I'll be like, look, I'm not looking for anything serious. If you're not looking for anything serious, whatever, hang out, see what happens.
Yes.
If nothing happens, like, I'm like, cool, not a problem. Like, I wish you the best. I don't wish anyone ill will. And yeah. I don't understand how people get fucking upset about people who don't want to hang out with them because their things don't align. Well, what, you don't want to have fun with me? Like, no, if they don't want to have fun, they don't want to have fun. Like, that's it. The puzzle don't mix.
Yeah.
So the first year after my initial breakup was like about fun. I needed to get things out of my system. I wanted to have fun. I wanted to enjoy myself.
Mm-hmm.
And then I went real career focused and mm-hmm. still having my fun. I had a couple close calls.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't ready for them.
Mm-hmm. Close calls is in relationship.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't ready for them. Yeah. I feel like I was the guy who would get like too excited too early and like run and then we cock block ourselves.
Yes.
Because it's like, you show too much interest too early. You got to slow down. I had to learn my lessons. I learned that you have to take your times and yes. let things sort of unravel and unfold. You can't just rush.
Why do you think you were doing that?
Well, I've come from two divorces. So my mum's been divorced twice yes. from my dad and then my stepdad. And I love love. Like, I love the idea of love, although I sit and speak about sex and stuff. Like, I'm very pro-love. I'm very yes. pro masculine and feminine polarity. I'm very pro, like, love, like yes. two people loving each other. Whether they're two girls loving each other, two guys loving each other, I don't give a fuck. Like, I love love. And I feel like, to be honest with you, I self-sabotage a lot of my relationships due to the barriers that I had up of I don't want to be hurt because I've already gone through yes. two divorces. I don't want to go through a third.
Of course.
And I probably self-sabotage with a lot of good girls along the way.
Yeah.
And maybe they weren't the right one for me. Maybe God said that I wasn't the right one for them,
mm-hmm.
you know? And I think it takes a little bit of an ego death to sort of realize that. You're mm-hmm. like, I am not the center of the universe. Like, what the fuck? But yeah. And then
AJ, because I am.
Yeah, well, you know, I'll just take another planet or something. But yeah, and I realize that, fuck, maybe I'm the problem. And then now that I look at it, I'm like, all right, cool. Instead of having any expectations, just relax and just go with the flow. Not really chase, more just work on me. Mm-hmm. Do things that I've wanted to sort of do that I haven't because I don't know what I've been doing. I don't know. Dating for me right now is just, I'd rather help other people date.
Also, it's an age thing, right? Like myself and my ex, I am 4 years older.
How old are you now?
I'm turning 36 this year.
That's crazy. I thought you were like 22.
I know, but I do turn 36 this year.
Is he older? Or you?
I'm older.
Oh, you're a cougar.
Okay. I'm the cougar in this experience. My business took off 4 years ago and grew exponentially. He was in his prince phase of building the business. So he's in the struggle and the challenge and the financial hardship. Looking at Shopify,
like, bro, what's happening?
And I'm far past that, even though I've been through it. So I understand the struggle. I understand all of that. And so where do you feel like you're at in your building of your kingdom?
I feel like I'm at the start again.
And do you feel like a man at the start of his journey of building his kingdom is actually ready for the partner? Or are you waiting for the kingdom to be built?
That's a very good question because I feel like I cock block myself a lot because of that as well.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'd rather my kingdom be built.
Yes.
Because that's just how I am as a person. I like to protect and provide.
Yes.
So I'm not going to put myself out there. And you know how people are like, oh, you know, that, but they'll struggle with you. But that's fine. But I don't want her to struggle with me.
Yes.
Like, I want to struggle.
Yeah.
I want my partner to reap the rewards of it. Whether she wants to work or not, work. If working makes her happy, that's fine. But I want to be in a position where she doesn't have to. She can have the options where she can go do whatever the fuck she wants all yes. day, take care of the kids, go home, take care of the house. I'll take care of the house too before anyone tries to fucking cancel me. I take care of the house too. Don't yeah. worry. Like, I can work a 16-hour day, come home, do chores to ensure that my wife's better. That's just how I am as a person. That's yes. how I've been raised by a single woman.
Yeah.
That's how I am. I'll work a 14-hour day.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll go home and help because
yeah, I know on your Instagram story, I saw your hours you're working this week. I'm like, that man is busy.
Yeah, but I'll still go home and make sure shit's done because the way I see it is if my wife's experience is easier, then that means she's going to have an easier experience and a greater ability to invest in my kids.
Yes.
That's my view. Yes. That's not everyone's view. That doesn't mean my view's right, but that's just my view because I seen how my mum is. Mm-hmm. Even though she's a businesswoman, I see when everything's going right and stuff, she had more time for all of us. She'd always prioritize us, but that's just how I see it. So for me, I'm restarting my journey. I'm in a new phase in my businesses and I'm at the start of it where I'm building. If the right person comes along, and it's not that I can't spoil them at the moment, it's just like I have a thing in my head where I'm like, I got a target where I'm like, mm-hmm. I want to be there and then I can go do all the things that I want to do.
Mm-hmm.
I'm only 28.
You are only 28.
I think as a guy, like, I've got a solid 4 or 5 years left in me where I can just focus on building.
Yes.
But at this point now, I've also hit the stage where I'm 28 and I don't look for fun.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've turned down fun a lot this year.
Mm-hmm.
By fun, I mean going on like random dates,
mm-hmm.
hanging out with random girls. I still talk to girls, but like I'm just at that stage. I'm in a different space where I get more of a kick of getting a good night's sleep. Obviously, I fucking didn't have one last night, but getting a good night's sleep and then waking up, doing a couple of videos, helping a couple of people with their own fucking relationships, then having someone with mine and we barely talk the next day or whatever, you know, so.
So you're building your kingdom.
Yeah.
See, this is a concept. This is what
brick by brick.
I said to Jake, I know you think we're the right people, but you're still building your kingdom. And his truth was, if I hadn't come along, he'd wait until his kingdom is built. And for me, turning 36 this year, I can do whatever the fuck whenever I want. Because that's the position I've got myself in. It became a real challenge when I can do whatever and he felt so limited. You know how there's this whole conversation around polarity and you even post about it because I love it. You're like, I don't split the bill. And can you tell us why you do not split the bill?
Because that's just how I've been raised. It's just a chivalry thing. And mind you, like, I've been on dates where I'm going to pay the bill either way.
Yeah.
And I don't sit there and be like, okay, I paid the bill. You're going to get naked.
Yes.
Like, that's not how it works. I've paid the bill. Drop her, sit at the front of the hotel, drop her off, see you later, have a good night.
Yeah.
And I pay for the bill when, like, I have my female best friends with me, who I've never had sex with, or nor do I ever plan to have sex with. That's just how I've been raised.
So you pay without expectation, just from desire to provide.
Yeah, that's just how I am.
It depends.
It's situational, but there's some. I do it for the ones who don't expect it.
Yes.
If there's, like, a sort of expectation, like, there's a...
So this is going to be my next question because my male friends have said this. So, like, I always know I'm going to get the bill, but I like to see what happens when the bill comes. Is she going to go quiet? Is she randomly going to run to the bathroom? I'm like, why are you doing this to this person? They're like, is she going to offer to pay half? I'm like, and then women will message me on the internet and be like, I don't even know what to do with this bill thing. So how do we navigate that scenario? And do you do that? Are you sitting there waiting to see what she's going to do just to see how she's going to do it and if you actually approve of her behavior or not?
Well, she can't do it.
She can't do what?
She can't see what my reaction is.
Because you've already gone to the front.
Because I've already gone to the bathroom and
I love it when a man does
paid, and then we walk out like it's nothing. And it's like, aren't we paying for the bill? I'm like, I've already sorted it. Don't worry.
Oh, don't we just love him?
It's easier because I don't want her to feel awkward.
Yes.
You know, she doesn't need to feel awkward. But don't get me wrong, like if we go for ice cream, like if she offers, or if they pull their phone out, they try to do the little pay pass thing and I just pick the phone up and I'm like, nice try, thank you, and then I'll pay. That's just how I am. It's not that I think I'm better than her. A lot of the time, like, she might have a better job than me or she might be in a better position than me. I'm still going to pay, you know? And my view is like, I'm not going to date if I'm not financially in a position to date.
Yes.
Or if I'm going to date, we'll go do something. I'll go get, like, a cheap bottle of wine, go get, go to the deli, go get $20, $30 worth of fucking cheeses and hams and stuff, and we'll pick at it on a fucking beach somewhere. People think that you have to be rich to date. You don't have to be rich. Or women expect fancy things. You can literally do the simplest shit and she'll be happy.
Mm-hmm.
Women appreciate the effort.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it is.
Mm-hmm.
And to be honest with you, if you want one who just wants the high quality, high this, high that stuff, is that someone you really want? Like, to be completely honest with you? Not that they don't deserve it.
Yes.
But is she going to be around when you're going to have moments in your business where you got $80,000, $30,000, $20,000 in payroll that you got to come up with in 3 days and you're like, I think I'm going to go back to tuna and rice, even though I'm asset rich, but I'm going to go back to tuna and rice for a day.
Mm-hmm.
Are they going to eat tuna and rice with you? These are the questions you got to ask yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And like, unfortunately, we live in a world at the moment where one person has a bad experience with the opposite sex or maybe even the same sex.
Yes.
And they generalize like, all women want money. All men are fucking just want sex and this and that. Like, no, like, you got to start treating everything individual.
Yes.
To be honest with you, I used to cock block myself a lot because I used to think about, fuck, what are the parents going to say about what I do for work?
Mm-hmm.
That I'm on the internet talking about sex so openly, so this, so that.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, why am I doing that? Like, I'm a good person. Like, their daughter will be happy. Their daughter doesn't get abused. Their daughter never have a finger laid on her. Like, doesn't have to lift a finger financially. Okay, she paid for sushi once, but like other than that, doesn't have to do anything.
Yes.
So once I got rid of that insecurity, I started going for things more that I wanted, you know? But that also comes back to the start of this conversation. It's all about inner dialogue.
Yeah.
Once you heal your inner dialogue, and well, I'm getting far. I think I'm not going to get emotional on this one today.
Ooh, bring out the tears. This is a safe space.
Yeah, Andrew. No, I love that. Then it goes all over the internet. Now I get roasted. I think when you heal that relationship with yourself and you change your inner dialogue, anything's possible. Yeah. And then you start to attract way better.
Yeah.
I've had amazing women in my life.
Yes.
And then, to be honest with you, 85% of the time I've self-sabotaged.
Yeah.
And that's fine. And like I said, I self-sabotage, but maybe I self-sabotage because God was protecting them from, not from anything bad, but just because we weren't the right fit. Mm-hmm. Maybe there's someone better than me for them. Yeah. That's what
it is. Do you think you're worthy of a great love?
100%.
Yeah.
I think everyone has to believe that they're worthy of a great love. Mm-hmm. If you don't believe and identify that you're worthy of something, you're never going to attain it because your reticular activating system is literally going to hold you back every single time. I believe I'm worthy of making $300, okay? Then you're going to get to $300. Maybe you want $1,000, but your belief system's stuck at 300.
Mm-hmm.
So then you're going to have a week where you maybe make 1,000, but you want to make 1,000 every week. But for some weird reason, you keep going back to 300, 300, 300. Because 300 is where your belief system's set.
Mm.
So if you believe that you're not worthy of a good love, you're never going to get a good love
because
that's where your belief system's set.
Yeah.
There's a book that I love. I think I've told you about it, The Letting Go. It's all over my social media.
I was about to say, I've seen it all over your social media, your love for this book. Who's it by?
David Hawkins.
Okay.
Phenomenal. Yes. And he talks about, I forget the middle one, but there's doing and then something and then being.
Yes.
There's a difference between doing and being.
Mm-hmm.
So you might go for a run, but you not might believe you're a runner.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So you got to force yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Then once you decide that I am a runner, I am someone that runs 5Ks, you are that runner, you are being a runner. And then you also stretch and you're doing this and that, and you do it naturally. It becomes in your fiber, in your being. If I attract someone amazing, and because I've been doing all the right things, but I don't believe that I'm someone who is worthy of that love, I'm going to fuck it up.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm going to have maybe attract someone who's going to treat me like shit.
Mm-hmm.
And then what happens is that's because I don't believe I'm worthy.
Mm-hmm.
But if I believe that I'm worthy, to answer your question, it's going to come to me someone who's worthy of what I give. I said to my best friend, he had a shit relationship before, and then now he's found someone who like literally just is perfect for him.
Mm.
And I said to him, like, God finally gave you the love that you deserve because of all the love you give.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I believe. I believe the more you give and the more you believe of your worthiness,
yes,
you will get everything you desire. Like you say, I'm waiting for my husband. Your husband will come in October. Like once it's a belief and you truly believe it, it's going to come.
Yes.
You just have to make that decision.
Yeah, I love him. And he's an amazing lover, first round and second.
Damn.
He knows what's up. He knows what's up.
Must be nice.
Andrew, have you, AJ.
Sitting with my mum for a second.
In trouble for a moment. Have you always felt this way about yourself, or have you had challenges to move through to be able to feel this depth of your worth, to be able to feel like you're worthy of your business, your woman, your self-expression online? Has that been a journey to move through?
Yeah. I mean, you would see like being someone being on social media as well, like it's not all sunshine and roses.
No.
You know, we all have – my mum had a heart attack 2 weeks ago. I think, to be honest with you, that's been a real catalyst for me the last 2-3 weeks.
Yeah.
And
is your mum okay now?
Yeah, she's good. God, she's good. Like, she could be dead. You know, I think can't beat that. There's no step up.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there is, but like, she's amazing now.
Mm-hmm.
Not amazing, but better than dead.
Yeah.
You know, I still have a mum.
Yeah.
Thank God. And it's International Women's Day. So I'm very, like, bubbly about it today.
Yeah.
I think, fuck, that stumped me. You got me emotional today.
Oh, I know. Well, you did say that you like the questions that I ask.
I
wanted to make sure I took you in some directions that you didn't expect within your boundaries.
No, what was the question again?
The question was the challenges that you've moved through to be able to hold this level of worth, to be able to create the expansion in life where you feel like you're deserving of the woman, the business, the self-expression online. Was there ever a time where you were just like, I'm not safe to be myself in this world?
Yeah, heaps.
Yeah.
Heaps. And then I did a lot of shrooms.
Yeah.
And when I first started social media, I did a lot of shrooms because I had to really just fight those insecurities and the unworthiness and what the fuck do I know and this and that. And it just made me realize that I've been blessed to work in an industry that not many people get into,
mm-hmm.
okay? So I've been privy to conversations that 95% of people don't have mm-hmm. or aren't able to have with other people and stuff like that.
So, and yet it's so common, right?
And yet it's so common.
Because when you speak, I'm like, oh my God, I fully understand what you're saying because of what I do and what I talk about. Even though it's so common, I'm the one that's privy to it.
Yeah. And so like why am I going to rob someone who doesn't have access to what I have access to of the potential of, you know, information that's going to help them for the better
mm-hmm.
because of my own insecurities and ego.
Mm-hmm.
So the shrooms took me to that place and then I just realized that, fuck, I have to learn to let it go and deal with attacks that might come at times.
Mm-hmm.
No matter if they're true or false, majority of the time they're false. And I have to push through because there's someone that, like, I get women and men message me every fucking day. This lovely lady messaged me and she's like, I listened to one of your podcasts and I was finally able to have an orgasm. And I've had people say that because of my advice, they were able to heal from toxic relationships that no one could navigate. I've had people who wanted to kill themselves and they listened to my advice and it fucking helps them. So who am I to sit and allow my own insecurities and my own ego from stopping me from posting something that I might look like fucking an idiot, but that will help. Or my own insecurities of this might not blow up and get 100 likes, might get 30 likes, but two of those likes might be some people that are just ready to knock themselves. And then they saw that post and that stopped them. So why am I going to remove it?
It's so deep. Actually, when I was breaking through my herpes stuff and I didn't want anyone to know, my two mentors would turn around and say to me, but it's not about you, Beck. Like when I was in my smallness of I'm not doing this, it's never coming out of my mouth. I'm dying with this secret. My two mentors were like, Rebecca, it is not about you. And I was like, what the fuck do you mean it's not about me? But it's not until now, having lived this experience, I'm like, I fully get it.
When was your moment where you like sort of felt it like lift off your chest? Like where it just like it felt like.
When I shared it. Okay. I shared it. I did a Facebook Live. My deepest fear was being rejected. I'd been bullied by women. Men had hurt me. And I just felt so unsafe to be myself in this world. And I was like, this is the final thing. I tried everything to get you to like me. What could I do? How could I dress? How could I speak so that AJ approves of Beck? I would do and try anything because I was terrified of being hurt and harmed. And it got to a point where I'd realized I tried so many things. It was getting me further and further away from the thing that I really wanted, which was, I thought it was your approval. It was my own acceptance. So I drew a line in the sand one day after doing deep work with a mentor. And I said, I'm going to claim this piece. And if the whole world rejects me in this moment, my family are embarrassed. My mom and dad hate me. Everyone is just like, I can't believe that disgusting woman. I'm just still going to say, I choose me now. And so I did a stake in the ground and claimed it.
How old were you?
31.
And what was the response?
Love, everything that I thought that I would never get from it. Love, validation, praise, me too's, acceptance. It's not a big deal. I still love you. People sharing deep parts of their vulnerability that they now felt safe to share with me. It created so much community around me. I was now a voice for people that felt like they had never found theirs and still haven't, that are willing to commit suicide. Actually, under suicide and depression, the next two searches in a Google search engine is number one, herpes. Wow. And next one, depression. So there's suicide, herpes, depression.
Wow.
I thought about taking my own life. I was like, I can't live like this any longer. I was 25 and I didn't know who to turn to. It felt so isolating.
You had herpes. So when were you first diagnosed?
25.
Wow. So from 25 to 31, you were living with it by yourself?
By myself. Because I was terrified. If I tell you.
Not a single soul?
No one. Except for the guy that passed it to me, who claims that he didn't know. I was too terrified. I told a girlfriend when I found out.
Oh, I don't know if you want to get into it.
Yeah, you can
do you honestly know if he knew? Like, do you reckon he didn't know?
I think that he did, and it's okay if he, like, he was an incredible teacher. Like, this is my path. Like, God gave it to me.
Yeah.
God handed me this baton and said, let's fucking go, baby, and I took it. But that doesn't mean anything to me anymore. I used to wrap my head up around it. Actually, no, he did know. Because a year later, I was cleaning out our apartment and I found antiviral medication in an old travel bag of his from years ago. So I was like, you motherfucker, I know that you knew. So he knew.
Wow.
But for the herpes virus, 70% of people carry it and they don't get symptoms. So it's very easy to just kind of be like, oh, I can just act like I don't have it. And doctors in Australia tell you, you're not legally obliged to disclose in Australia. It's not on the notifiable infection list, which means it's not illegal for me to not tell
America,
you.
America, it is.
In most states in America. Okay, yeah. Which adds a whole other layer of shame to it, of feeling forced to. I've had clients in other countries where their exes have reached out and said that they're going to sue them. It never follows through, but it creates so much more fear when it's such a energetically charged topic anyway. But I've let go of the pain. Like, I'm not in any pain of it anymore. So I'm not wrapped up in whether he knew, whether he didn't know. I was actually mad at my ex-boyfriend. My ex-boyfriend couldn't pleasure me, couldn't last, had a lot of shame around it. He sounds a lot like you, Andrew, where he lasted 30 seconds, like literally 3 years with this guy, and he would last maximum of 3 minutes, and he wouldn't talk about it. And so I actually ended
up... Why talk about it? The internet knows.
So it's a brave man that chooses to date me next. That's why I just know my husband's good for it. But because I would turn to him and say, I just can't let go with you. I can't... Sexual expression is where I feel the most me. And I couldn't do that with him because he would not last and then we would not talk about it. I felt not valued. And then I ended up in the arms of another man. That man passed me herpes. So I wasn't mad at the man who gave it to me. I was mad at the man that I loved that wouldn't have the conversation with me around sex.
So you got it after the ex or while you with the ex?
But I cheated on my ex, broke up with him the next day.
Wow.
I broke up with him twice. He was so great at everything. As bad as he was at sex, he was great at everything else. Amazing kisser, amazing at everything else but sex. But sex creates such deep connection.
You know how many women I've had come into my stores? I say stores because I've been a part of five in the past and I don't want to sort of isolate any particular area.
Mm-hmm.
I've heard that sentence so many times. He was amazing at everything.
Yes.
But sex.
Yes.
And it's crazy. It's like amazing, but like not open to learning as well.
Everyone's like, Beck, how did you end up in a relationship where you love this man? But I was 22 when I met him and I'd slept with hardly anyone. So when I got herpes, I was like, I've slept with less than a handful of people and I've got the fucking, at the time I thought slut was a bad word. I'm like, I've got the slut STI. I got so mad.
It's insane how it works because like I have a friend. He's one of them people that count.
Yeah.
And he's in the hundreds.
Yeah.
And all our mates like.
Do you have anything, bro?
Yeah, I'm like, do you? You know, he's like, no. And he gets tested and he's like, no.
I lived in a house for 6 years with two men and one woman and two of the men were like my best friends and they were wild. And they're like, how did you, who'd slept with like three people, end up with herpes?
Don't you just love like this, like the friendship? Like people are just like, your deepest, darkest, how'd you get that? Like, bro, like, it took me 6 years to come out. You don't need to, like, we're not at that level where you can ask me, like.
No, we were at that level.
No, but you know, you get what I mean? It was like.
Yeah, it was like that. Herpes has become such a normalized conversation with everyone in my life that people are like, I feel like I'm educating people now. I was in a taxi on the way home from a nightclub and I turned to the girl that was sitting in the car next to me that had disclosed to him, but being like, you should work with my housemate. She can help you.
Mm.
So, yeah, it's just great to normalize things that were once so terrifying. And that's been my huge come to Jesus moment. And also why I love what you talk about, because my pain was created through sex, through the man that I love not being able to meet me intimately, through me feeling so suppressed that sexually I couldn't express myself with him. Through then I hadn't learned these tools and resources. So I was talking to him like, babe, like I didn't sleep with him for 4 months because I was 22 when we met. And he was so great at everything else. I fell in love. I'm 22 years old.
Mm.
Then the amount of pain that was created on the other side of him not being able to perform sexually and him not being open to the conversation, like that was my resentment. That's been my letting go. It's been so hard to release that because I was like, men and your lack of being able to perform sexually is what created my pain and my herpes virus. And that's been my journey.
That's why men need toys.
Yes. So let's go there now. How does a man who's in that experience, who's a man who can pleasure her orally with his hands, with his mouth, but sexually, when it comes to actual sex where women feel deeply connected to him, how do we get him to talk about that?
As in the sense of penetrative?
Yes, because we want to have sex. I feel so connected to you when we're having sex.
Yeah, but sex is such a broad word. My biggest thing at the moment is what I try to push is look at sex as a wider area rather than just penetration. Because to be honest with you, for guys that only don't last that long, try not to manifest. But I last long these days, but for guys that don't last that long, it's about creating an experience other than penetrative sex. So you can still connect through going down on each other. You can still connect with kissing, hugging, cuddling, touching. It doesn't have to be all about penetrative.
Yeah.
I think the biggest way to connect is being in the moment and using eye contact.
Mm-hmm.
I know a lot of people struggle with eye contact. Like, she's like, I don't want to look into his eyes. I'm like, yeah, because you don't want to see all the other women he speaks to. I was like, damn, I'm sassy.
There's that dark humor coming out.
My mom had a heart attack, you know, I'm fucking sassy. But the thing is, I feel like sex is always on a more emotive and deeper level when we feel. Mm-hmm. When we take away the idea of actually having sex, mm-hmm. and like the performance ideology around yeah. sex, and move into more the, are we enjoying these? Is this fun?
Yes.
Like, are we having a good time?
Yeah.
Having a good time is going to trump the poor performance.
Yeah.
I think we both need to lose the ideology of trying to perform yeah. and then move towards trying to please each other.
Yes.
It's a hard topic for men because men, a lot of the time, we feel like we get rejected.
Mm-hmm.
I struggle connecting and talking for men. I don't feel like I'm that much in a position to really speak for men because I come from a different sort of world in the sense mm-hmm. that I've been surrounded by women all my life yes. and spoken to women about their issues all their life. So I understand women more than I understand men, but I understand men. I don't understand why men don't talk to the women. My capacity for rejection is very different to other men's capacity mm-hmm. for rejection. I look at two of my very close friends, the one I had breakfast with this morning and another one, and I look at them like, bro, these are great guys. These are amazing guys. Like, mm-hmm. you're the type of guys that if I had sisters, I'd let you date. I know they'd be in great hands. But you get in your own way because you're scared to be rejected.
Yes.
I also sat and worked at nightclubs. I sat from 18 years old and spoke to women about their clitorises. So I have a sort of different capacity for rejection.
Mm-hmm.
So, but I see now, I'm telling them, like, you're going to be more upset with the conversations you didn't have, the shots that you didn't take, the women that you didn't try to talk to or pursue, than if she says, no, not today. And if she says, no, not today, you shouldn't see it as a form of rejection, but rather a redirection to mm-hmm. exactly who you're meant to be with, yeah. to your October wife.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, he's coming, baby. And so if we want to support our men to be more open to sex being an experience and involving toys and all of those things that maybe they feel a little bit intimidated by or like it's doing the work that he's meant to be doing, how do we open him up to that conversation?
You get him to use it on you rather than you use it on yourself with him.
Yes, okay.
He and the toy are a catalyst of your orgasm.
Yes.
Rather you and the toy are the catalyst and he's just a participant.
Yeah. And are men scared of using toys in the bedroom? Do they feel...
I think some are, but to be honest with you, like in my experience, I'm finding more men coming to the store.
Really?
Yeah. I love having like little profound moments where like they're coming like... and then all of a sudden they leave with a fucking whole bag full. Like,
yeah.
Right. There is nothing wrong with it. Last year I had an encounter with someone that I was talking to and I don't really talk about my personal stuff, but I feel like I have to be authentic with some things as well. Not authentic, but show that... It happens to everyone.
Mm-hmm.
I've been doing this for 10 years. So I know all the tips and tricks. And for some weird reason, I don't know what was happening in my life at the moment. He ain't working.
Yeah.
He wasn't working.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't sit there and be like, I can't do this. You know, like, I don't know what's going on, blah, blah. I didn't freak out because I didn't want to freak her out or I didn't want to get her, like, not to enjoy her. So we just got toys out and we just focused on toys. And then truth be told, and little bit did we know that because I took the focus off of him not working
mm-hmm.
and put the focus on trying to ensure that she's pleasured by using toys and not looking at him as a competitor,
mm-hmm.
Willie Bear got working, you know? And then we had a great time.
Amazing.
So you have to realize it's like anything. You're not going to build a house with your bare hands.
Yeah.
You can. It's possible.
Yeah.
But you'd rather use the tools. They're going to get you there quicker.
Yeah.
They don't make you any less. It just makes you a smarter worker. I fucking fumble with everything. You know how hard it is rubbing a thumb on a clitoris while doing it? Just grab the fucking the toy, hold it there. You know, I was driving here on the way and listening to a podcast with a UFC fighter, like what is a world champion at the moment. He was talking about on a podcast, like, yeah, bro, you grab a toy, you put it on the clit, like makes life easier. Like, what the, you know?
I love men so solution focused.
Yeah, like, you know, that's the solution.
How do I get to the outcome quicker and easier?
Well, that's why men speed up when you tell us don't stop and we speed it up because we're like, okay, cool, she's enjoying it. Let's throw everything we got at her right now, you know?
And that's we're like, exactly as you're doing it, don't change it. And then they're like, harder and harder. And we're like, well, you lost it for me.
Yeah, well, you don't say that. You just say exactly like that. Not like don't stop or this and that. You just say exactly what you're doing. Just don't even do nothing else. Just stay there. Stay put. Just do that, you know? That's where positive reinforcement comes in.
Yes.
Because when you're sleeping with someone and if you continue to sleep with someone, you'll notice, especially if you're sleeping with men, how we work is if you mention that you're liking something, we're like, ooh, we're like a puppy. If we get that compliment of we're doing something good, it's like you're giving us a little biscuit or your little... Or your little moan, or your little thing. That's why I don't like fake moaning. I
hate fake moaning.
Don't fake moan.
No.
Because you're just setting yourself up for failure. Because,
yes.
You know, you're fake moaning when he's licking the left side, when he's like nowhere near the clit, and he thinks that that's where the clit is.
Yeah.
That's why he thinks, you know. And also, I think it's very important to communicate, show him by maybe like little clues, like or a little, yeah, right there.
Yeah.
Because he's going to copy and paste what he did with the last woman onto you. Because she made the noise maybe a bit at her kneecap and he's like, fuck, okay, that's where her clit must be. That's a copy and paste. That's where all women's clits must be, by the kneecap. But men don't realize that all women are different, and that's okay. We're cool. We're learning. That's why I'm here to educate. All women are different. So you have to talk to her and you talk to him so you understand what works for both of you.
Yeah.
And slowly, slowly, you'll start to learn each other's body. But the best way to do it is through positive reinforcement. Right there. Just, oh, I love that. And that's where later on, like, mention the things that you do like.
Yeah.
And then I was on a podcast with Adele Marie and she talks about a shit sandwich. So you say the things you like and then you do like, but like maybe we'll leave that one out next time, you know, you're trying to suck on my toes or something. But while you're down in the toe region, I love when you lick my ankle. A shit sandwich.
I do this as well. Compliment, feedback, request.
Yeah.
So I think feedback is I didn't love it when you did this, but what I would love instead is finish with the compliment.
Yeah, 100%. And so then he doesn't feel like he's been completely dragged down.
Yes.
He's boosted up.
Yeah.
And then you're going to move him to the right a little bit, but he stays up. And then what happens is we go back to copy and paste. She liked it. Copy, paste. Next time you have sex. And then you just work on top of it. And then he'll become more comfortable to communicate rather than the first couple of times with you trying to communicate sex with him. I didn't like this. If he'll shut down, what the fuck?
Yeah.
I'm not going to want to talk. Like, why the fuck am I even going to want to have sex if you don't even like him?
Yeah. You know? I'm not going to feel safe to explore.
Or express myself.
You're going to criticize me if I don't do it right.
Or express myself.
Yeah.
You know?
So talk to me about toys in a one-night stand situation, because my girlfriend, I've never experienced it. My girlfriends have told me about it and I'm like, I am so confused by this. Has he used those toys on like 50 other women?
Yeah.
And then they're like, but his dick, like he's been with other women anyway. What's your opinion on this?
For you to assume that men have been with other women other than yourself is like, I think it's very rude. obviously I have a fucking abundant supply of things that I get sent by suppliers.
Yes.
I'm also the type to, if I get a decent long-term girlfriend, okay, I'll go buy brand new sheets and a whole fucking new mattress.
Yes.
Because I don't want her to hold any belief of who else is.
I felt that. My ex wanted to get out of handcuffs. I'm like, you already have those before me. I don't want to use those ones.
Yeah, well, I think like, but then everyone's going to turn back on me, but you got an abundant supply of things. So it's like, you know, like, it's spend more money with me.
Yeah.
Don't share. I just find that it's, would you like someone else? Oh, I wouldn't care. That's fine. You might not care, but would that person care?
Yeah.
I think toys can be brought out on the one-night stand, obviously through communication, but like, cool, are you cool with this? Yes. Are you cool with this? Yes. Okay. Get them fresh out of the box. You know, it doesn't have to be an expensive one. Go buy a $20 clip bullet.
Yeah.
You can literally buy a $20 clip bullet. But in terms of a one-night stand, I personally wouldn't go there because you don't know who's been there. And also, if it's a one-night stand and you've just met this person, you don't know their hygiene protocols. You don't know if they're hygienic or not.
Yeah.
You haven't even been in his bathroom yet. You've busted into the house kissing each other all hot and heavy.
Yeah.
You're on the bed. You're both naked. And then he gets all these toys out. You're all hot and heavy. And then you literally go into his bathroom. There's fucking skid marks everywhere. You don't know their hygiene protocols.
Yeah.
So it's like,
I'm personally a big no to reuse toys.
No, like, reuse toys. Toys on the first night, if he's ripping them out the box.
Yeah, let's go,
baby. Go crazy. But if they're reusable.
Yeah.
No. You don't know whether he's hygienic or not. He might be the most hygienic person on the planet. Great. But are you comfortable? And what's your stance on it? Do you get what I mean? Like, everyone's different and that's fine. Personally, I'm with you. It's a no for me if they've been used before.
Yeah. Do you feel like women are open to bringing out toys the first time they're intimate with someone, even if they want to?
I'd really ask if you got toys.
You ask?
Yeah, because I'm like, fuck, if I don't perform, if I don't get it up, like majority of the time.
AJ's like, I'm going to fully resource myself in advance to make sure this is incredible, seeing as I've told the whole internet I last 30 seconds.
You don't go to a war with no ammo. You've got to stay strapped, baby. One night stands, you get nervous, you get shy, like, you know, he might not work. So I'm like, I don't want her to be let down, so thing. And that being said, I've had some bad one-night stands. Like, just because I teach sex on the internet, people think that I must be some crazy guru at sex. I'm not a guru at sex. I'm great at teaching people how to have it. I'm like everyone else. I have my struggles. Like, everyone's got struggles, you know?
Well, it's also chemistry. You can have someone that is...
Chemistry is massive. Yeah. As I get older, chemistry is massive. Like, I need mental stimulation now. Yeah. Like, I had this conversation with someone. I was laughing with my mate. I'm like, can you imagine people in my past who, like, I've slept with and maybe I didn't last that long or maybe I didn't cuddle for long enough before?
Yeah.
You know, that...
And they're like, this fucking idiot this talking about...
On the internet. This bloke's talking about, but that's why I've always been honest about the fact that I don't last long.
Yeah.
But like along my journey and growth, like I've learned before I was having this conversation like the other day, I didn't realize the importance of how, like I would always check in through text and stuff, but I didn't realize when I was younger how important cuddling was after.
Yeah.
I didn't realize that. It's not that I didn't want to cuddle. I'm a cuddler.
Yeah.
But if I knew like the times that I hadn't cuddled as much or maybe like if I'm going to a friend's, like someone's house and you're like to them, hey, I'm just saying, you know, like, I've got to be somewhere after this, yeah. You know? And then I would feel guilty after if I have to get up and leave after we've had the deed. But I'm sort of like, but I told you that.
I had to teach my ex about this because he was cuddle all through the night. He's all over me all during the day. Whenever like physical affection was out, we had like non-sexual physical intimacy 10,000. But after sex, he's like, I've got shit to go and do. And I'm like, bro, you can't just like finish, get up and go about your day. Like, we need this care afterwards.
Once I'd met someone out. And we went back to mine and we literally just cuddled.
Aww.
She's like, do you want to, yeah, I'm like, look, I'll be honest with you. I'm pretty drunk, but like, you want to just cuddle? I'm like, do you want to just cuddle? Like, I hope you don't feel rejected, but I'm not going to perform. I'm not going to tell you to, like, if you want to go home, go home. But like, I don't want to kick you out. Like, I'm a good cuddler. Aww. And we just cuddled. You know, like, this morning was so mad. It's like, cuddle. Like, I don't know. I think as well, a lot of things now is, everything is growth.
Yes.
So I've learned a lot of things from other people's experience and then I take those things and I copy and paste them into my own life and also I try to help others with it. So like when I look at the internet, I'm like, you know, people who probably have been with me before and they're like, oh, you didn't cuddle me as much after. Trust me, if I knew the importance of it, I would cuddle more.
Mm.
Now I know to cuddle. Now I'll cuddle more than I'll have sex. But like,
now that I know better, I do better.
Always. And I think that's, look, my heart has always been pure, always, always, and I've always respected important things like boundaries and stuff. But like the little things I fucked up, like not lasting long, definitely fucked that up. And cuddling and like aftercare and stuff like of the physical aftercare. Yeah. I'd always check in, but like how was you get home safe?
Yeah.
I'm big on that. Like I'm big on even staying awake to make sure they get home all good. I always do the Ubers and stuff like if that's the case. Or I'll drop them home if obviously I haven't been drinking. Yeah. I think that's important.
Yeah.
I think being a gentleman is fundamentally important.
Yeah. And so I'd love to wrap this episode up. And it is International Women's Day.
Phenomenal day.
And I'm curious if you have a message on your heart to share with the women who are listening.
If you really want to have an impact on yourself and the people around you, change your inner dialogue.
Mm.
I think that's the greatest thing that I can give you. And be kind to others. Be kind to other women. There's no bigger ick than like women who put down other women. I find that shit icky.
Mm.
You know, you don't know what battles other people are facing.
Mm.
That's it. Just be kind.
I love that. I love being in your presence.
Yeah,
I
got an emotional. Maybe we're going to stick to like far apart. I've got an emotional this one.
Getting AJ crying on the show. AJ, if my women from my world want to get all the way up into yours, where do we find you?
You can find me at Missionary to Madam on Instagram.
Mm-hmm.
And AJ Missionary Paps on TikTok and my website missionarymam.com.au.
Thank you so much for driving
for having
me. You're the best.
Pleasure.
Thanks for tuning in to today's episode. If you're desiring more from me right now, firstly, I love your eagerness. And secondly, let's make it happen. Check out the link in my show notes where you can receive more information on my books, breakthroughs, online webinars, all upcoming courses and programs, and how you can get started on your journey within my world today. I can't wait to be back in your ears next week, and trust me, you won't want to miss this episode.